Alright, Shabbos said, good morning, good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Menachem Av, Benjamin and Elise Wall from Netanya Eretz Yisrael for dedicating all the shiur and drashos this month in honor of Meshi Abramson and Jeremy Lassen for all of their Mesiras Nefesh, for enabling those outside of our physical base measures to participate in all of our shiurim. To thank our week of learning sponsors, Aaron and Alana Weinberg, with gratitude to Hashem on the 12th anniversary of the refuah of their son Yonatan Shai, and Said and Sima Hagen for the refuah shlim of Avram ben Zinat, and for the hatzlacha for the entire family. Also, we thank all of our sponsors for their generosity. And with that, let us begin. An exciting daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Samech Vav 66. We are picking up on Samech Hamed Beis 65b at the Gemara. Not the last Gemara on the page, but the second to last Gemara on the page. So remember, again, we ended up yesterday. We did a quick read of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah was discussing the various different Lashonos, the various different wordings, which work to go ahead and affect divorce. So the Gemara says as follows, Tan Rabbanan, Shalchuha, Shafkuha, Tarchuha, sent her away. Right, send her away, right? So Shachua, send her away, Shafkua, let her be gone, Tarchua, let her be free, Hare Eliyichtibu Biyitnu. These are all proper Lashonos of divorce, and if the husband uses one of these words, ultimately, again, it has the ability to affect divorce. So in other words, Yichtibu Biyitnu, meaning if he says these words to Edim, ultimately they are empowered to write and to deliver the get. Patruha, but pater her, parnasuha, support her, asula knimus, do for her in according with the right way, asula karai, do what's appropriate, lo amar klum. These are ineffective word choices and do not allow for the writing and delivery of a get. Tanya, Rabbi Nassim, or patruha, Rabbi Nassim says, if his husband says patruha, dvarav kayamin, ultimately again his words work, right? That works. Pitruha, lo amar klum. So Rabbi says, very interesting over here. So now I have Rabbi Nosson really splicing a little bit over. So patruha works, pitruha doesn't work. Amar Rabba, Rabbi Nosson de Bavlo, who daik bin pitruha le patruha. Rabbi Nosson, who was a Babylonian, he was medaik between pitruha and patruha. Rabbi says, now Rashi points out the reason for this is, if you look at Rashi, second wide line in Rashi, Daik bein pitruha lepatruha, shemesarpid pamim b'loshon arami, pamim b'loshon ivri. The Babylonian Jews were often conversant in both Hebrew as well as Aramaic. Hilchach, ki amar patruha, loshon get piturinu, shehidgish, v'siper b'loshon arami. V'chi amar pitruha, siper b'loshon ivri, v'amar loshon ptur v'chova. Shabbos says, so interestingly enough, so in Aramaic, so often a get would be referred to as a sefer piturin, right? So therefore, again, lashon of patruha would work, lashon of pitruha would not work. Tana didan de Baretz Yisrael ulo daik, our Tana, who's from Eretz Yisrael, did not make this distinction between patruha and pitruha. Good. Oibailu, umaras akasha, hotziuha mahu. We'll say, what happens if he uses Lashon of Hotziu? So we'll say, so in other words, just to frame this in the right way, the husband is going over to a group of two people and he says, Hotziuha, literally again, take my wife out. Take my wife out. Or remove her. So the Gemara says, Azavuha, make her be forsaken, right, or left. Mahu, Hitiruha, permit her. Hinichuha, leave her. Mahu, Ho'ilula, help her. Mahu. Asula kidas, do for her in accordance with the halacha, mahu. So we'll say, so what about all of these lashonos that are a bit ambiguous? In other words, say if a husband goes over to two people and he says he uses any of these lashonos, are they empowered to write and deliver the get? To which the Gemara says, Pashat miyachada, such as they don't really know the answer, but we can at least answer one of these questions. Disanya, asula kidas, do for her in accordance with the law. Asula kanimus, do for her in accordance with the right way. Asula karoi, do what is right for her. La amar klum. Okay, so we'll say, so bottom line, some of these lashonos, obviously, again, will be ambiguous, but at least the Gemara says some of them clearly are not lashonos of gerishin. Incredible. Says the Mishnah. Let's say, you know, it's interesting, there's a good Musar Haskel in this, which is, both in marriage and in divorce, say what you mean. Meaning that I would say that sometimes, again, one of the most difficult things that sometimes causes shalom bayis issues is when couples, right, expect each other to know what the other wants without saying it. Right? The most common misnomer of marriage is that if you love someone enough, you should know exactly what it is that they need, even if they don't say it. Right? And unless you're a Navi, you can never know what someone else needs unless they say it. So it's interesting, right? So what happens over here? So divorce can only be affected if you say what you mean. Right? In other words, if you use ambiguous lashonos, you cannot trigger the process of divorce. So if ambiguity doesn't work to affect divorce, then I will say, goes without saying that ambiguity is not going to work in the context of marriage either. If you need something from your spouse, never assume that they could intuit what it is that you're going to need, but rather, again, tell them. And in a good, healthy, and loving relationship, when one spouse tells another something that they need, the other loving and compassionate spouse is going to do their best to provide it. But if you're ambiguous, or even worse than ambiguous, don't say anything and just leave it to the other to intuit or to understand on their own what is needed. Very often that just leads ultimately to unfulfilled wants and desires, and even worse, a sense of marital frustration. Incredible Musar. The Gemara says as follows, Barishona hayu omrim, hayotze bakolar, was a very interesting case. They used to say, somebody who's been yotze bakolar, Rabbi said, what's yotze bakolar? Rashi says, liharig lemalchus, someone who's being let out to be executed by the government. Now the reason they're using the lashon of government as opposed to, let's say, someone else is because, look, that was the most common case of execution. Also because if you were condemned to die by the government, chances are that was not being reversed. Right? That was it. So yotze bekolar, va'omer kisvu get le'ishti. So can you imagine, well, so imagine the following situation. Reuven is being let out to be executed by the government, chas v'shalom. And what happens? As he's being let out, he cries out, write a get for my wife. Now the truth is, what he really should have said was what? Right? Okay, let's assume he's only married to one woman. Right? Only married to one. Valid point, your name. Really what the Gemara is looking for over here is he should have said, Kisvu utenu get le'ishti. Write a get. Because remember, again, writing a get by itself is ineffective. What makes a get is, of course, the writing, but also the delivery. So he should have written, he should have said, Kisvu utenu get le'ishti. So that's what he should have said. But nevertheless, we say Allah Almighty. Sorry, Eli Yichtavu Viyitnu. Ultimately, the Allah says we could write it and we could give it. Why? Because we assume Reuven's got a lot on his mind in that particular moment, right? In other words, there's a lot happening there in the enormity of the moment. Okay, he didn't deliver a clear instruction, but it's clear what he wants. In other words, the fact that he's calling us out, write a get for my wife. What? And what? You know, things aren't so good at home right now. You know, so I'm going to see what's going to happen. Again, he's about to be executed, so we understand from the context that he means for the get to be written and delivered. So even though he didn't use the really correct expression, we deliver the get anyway. So originally, this halacha just applied to someone who was being let out to be executed. Chazal then came along and said, Acha mefarish vayotze b'shayara, even someone who's leaving and traveling with a caravan, Rabbi Shemesh Zuri or Afar Mesukan, even someone ultimately again who is deathly ill. So we'll say, so what ended up happening over here is as follows. What they did is originally this applied to someone who's about to be executed. Right? Then what happened is Chazal kind of extended it to other people who are clearly in life-threatening situations. Sayosi Bishayara means someone who's traveling. Now again, That could be traveling over wide swaths of land or traveling by sea as well. Though Shayara usually means by land, not by sea. But it refers to a long journey which has some level of inherent danger. The Sukkan is someone who's deathly ill. So these are individuals who would have a vested interest in giving a get to their wife. So even though ideally the wording that should be used is Kisvu Utenu, we assume that if they only say kisvu, they meant kisvu utenu, but Lamaisa didn't give the right instructions because they're a bit preoccupied with the enormity of their present circumstances. Incredible. Smart tells a story. Gniva yotze bekolar haba. So Gniva Rabosa was being let out to be executed by the government. Kihava kanafek, amar havu arba meozuze l'rabi avina mechamra dinar panya. Shabbos said, this isn't a get case. Something very interesting. So Gnivo is being led out to be executed, and he said, I want, now the wording here is very interesting. Please give 400 zuz to Rabbi Avina from my wine that's in Narpanya. So he was giving a gift. Now, understand this follows. In general, in order to give a gift, what do you need in order to effect, to be effective? A kinyan, right? In other words, remember, we're talking about metaltalin over here. So metaltalin, right? Metaltalin, movable property, is only acquired through hagbah, through meshicha, right? So you need a kinyan. So what's happening over here is Gnifa is being let out to be executed, and as he's being let out to be executed, he says, please give Rabbi Avino 400 zuz from my wine and arpanga. Okay, so now, well, watch this. Amar Rabbi Zera said, top of Samach Vav, Dara Rabbi Avino l'silte, va'azl gabei drafun rabbe. So this is interesting. So Rabbi Zera said, listen, Rabbi Avina, here's what you should do. Pack your bags, right? So pack your bags, and ultimately, again, go to your Rabbi Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna, gito kimatanaso. Because Rav Huna is on record as saying, in other words, what Rabbi Zirabose is saying is, Avina, Rabbi Avina, if you want this gift to be effective, you should have it affirmed by your Rabbi Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna is on record as saying, Gito kimatanaso, that a get is just like a gift. Ma matanaso amad choser. We'll say, just like when a person makes, now here we'll say, it's talking about actually like a deathbed gift. See, we'll say, remember again, there's a concept called, we've seen this many times, matnas shchidmira. Person is on his deathbed and he conveys property or he conveys metaltalin to someone. What's the halacha? It works. It's a special halacha that Chazal made, or really, it's not even a halacha that they made, it's a dispensation that they made for someone who is deathly ill, that he has the ability to go ahead and transfer ownership of items through a mere verbal declaration. Why did Chazal do this? They wanted a shchidmira to have a peace of mind. Right? A person is on his deathbed, there's a lot of stuff swirling around his mind, so ultimately they wanted him to be able to convey property, or property, whether it's real property, movable property, just by a verbal declaration. Now Rav Huna said something very interesting. Rav Huna said that again is like a matana, meaning what? So let's say you have a shchidmira. Shchidmira makes a matana, right? He says, I give all of my property to Ruvain, and then what happens? Baruch Hashem, he is healed. He's healed. Truth is, everyone's happy except for Ruvain, right? So now, what's the halacha? So a matna shchimira is clearly a conditional gift. The shchimira thinks he's about to die. That's why he gives his property. So it's understood in that gift that if he recovers, the gift is void. So ultimately, Rav Huna says, kito ki matanasam, ma matanasam amar choser. So we'll say, just like if shchimira gave him matana, and then he recovered, the matana, right, is voided. Af gito im amad choser. So I'll say, very interesting, if a shchimira gives a get on his deathbed, ultimately, again, it's understood to be, why is the shchimira giving his wife a get? Right, because the marriage is not so great? No, obviously he's doing it because a yibum situation or some other situation. So it's understood, it's a get out tonight. You can give a get, you can give a get with a condition. Therefore, if he recovers, ultimately, again, the get is void. Now, both say, that's not the important part for us. What's the important part? Umagito, afagav dolo parish. Kevan damar kisvu, afagav dolo amar tnu. So we'll say, what did we just learn? Just like by a get, even if you didn't use the right verbiage, right? Let's say, again, remember, ideally when giving a get or when commissioning a get, what is the husband supposed to say? Kisvu utenu, but you just said kisvu, you just said right, that's enough. Af matanoso, kevan da amer tnu, af agav de lo kanu mine. So to buy, so you also say, just like a get of a shchimira, if he doesn't use the right wording, right, he should say kisvu tnu, but he just says kisvu, we understand what he means. And so we execute based even on that partial statement. So today we'll say when a shchimira wants to give a gift, we'll say, what's the proper wording for a gift? The proper wording for a gift is, right, tnu, right, afag, kevan damar tnu, afagav delo kanu minei. So we'll say, so to buy a gift, once the shchimira says, give a gift to so-and-so, even though no kinyan was made, ultimately, again, the gift is a binding gift. Says Rabbi Osei, so let's go back for just a second. Right? So Geniva is being let out to be executed. As he's being let out to be executed, ultimately, so Rabbi Osei, remember again, now what did we establish in our Mishnah? That being executed, right, being let out to be executed is effectively the same thing as what? Shemira. It's this, in our, conceptually, or halachically, it's the same situation. In that halacha lemaisa, you're dealing with people who are preoccupied by the enormity of their circumstances, therefore may not speak in complete directives, but as long as we understand the expression of their das, we will carry through with the actualization of their intent. So therefore, again, Geniva is being let out to be executed. As he's being let out, he says, give to Rabbi Avina 400 zuz of the wine that I have in Nar Panya. In Nar Panya. So again, I'll say, so now just follow this. Rabbi Zera said to Rabbi Avina, listen, Rabbi Avina, pack your bags. Go to your Rabbi Rafuna. Go to Rabbi Rafuna. Because Rafuna, if you tell Rafuna what happened, Rafuna will affirm the gift for you. Because Rafuna is the one who said that ultimately, again, a get or a matana is just like a get. And just like the get of a shchemira, even if he just said a partial lashon, like tenu, but he didn't say kiss, I'm sorry, he just said kisvu, but he didn't say kisvu tenu, the get is good. So too by matana, if he just said tenu, but there was never a kinyan made, it's a good. So if Rafuna will affirm Rabbi Avina, your right to the gift. Incredible. So we'll say, so that's good. That's the story. We'll say, Samach Vav Amad Aleph 66a, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down from the top. Maskif Rabbi Abba. So he says, 1 second. Let's talk about this comparison between get and matona. Ima matona yeshna la'achar misa. Af get yeshna la'achar misa. But how can you compare a get and a matona? Because that's what we'll say again. Are you going to say that just like there is a pashumas matona? Right, well, so you could have a matana that takes place after your death. And a person can make it tonight. When I die, I want this property or I want this item to be given to Reuven. So we'll say, so now, in Rav Huna's model, Rav Huna is linking matana and get. So are we going to say that just like there's a matana la'achar misa after death, that there's a get la'achar misa? So we'll say, Twitch Gemara says, no. Hachi hashta bishla matana isa la'achar misa. It's not a fair comparison. Because again, the concept of get only applies when what? Only applies when what? When there is a living husband. There's no, in other words, that's ridiculous. Essentially what the Gemara is saying, it's ridiculous. The concept of a get requires two living spouses. That's inherent in the very framework. So of course there's no get la'achar misa. See, even though we are comparing matana to get and get to matana, obviously, the comparison is going to be limited to the actual realities of each of them. Ella Rabbi Abba Hachi Kakashle. So we'll say this was Rabbi Abba's question. Listen to this. Matnas Shchemira B'miktzasi. So Rabbi say, here's the problem. So here's the problem with what Rabbi Abba had with the case of Geniva. Right? Here's the problem, right? So Geniva says, give four, remember again, we'll say, what was the case? Give, sounds like what Geniva is saying, although we'll clarify this in just a moment. Give 400 zuz worth of wine from the wine that I have in Nar Panya. Now, I will say, this is the classic case of matnas shchemira, right? The classic case is that the shchemira is giving away everything. That's the classic case. That's the classic case. This is a case of matnas shchemira b'miktzas. Shchemira is giving away some of his property. Rabbi said, now when Shchemira is giving away some of his property, so he says, so how can Kashile, Matna Shchemira Miktzas he, or Matna Shchemira Miktzas by a kinyan? Wow, so what's it? Very interesting. In general, when do we say that a gift of a Shchemira doesn't require a kinyan in order to affect conveyance, right? When it's a complete gift. Because it will say, what's happening over here is the Shchemira knows he's about to die, right? And therefore he's giving away everything. When a Shchemira only gives away some of his property, but retains some of it for himself. Now let's say, what does that show? What does that show? That maybe he's not sure he's going to die. Well, if he's not sure he's going to die, and he's saving some property for himself, then what? Effectively, it's not matna shchemira. It's just a regular conveyance. Well, if it's a regular conveyance, then what does it require? What does it require? A kinyan. Fascinating. Well, say, take a look at Rashi, but miktsas. Rashi says, Shashir the Atzmo, where the Shchemira saves something for himself. Shalom Nasan Kol Mechasav. He hasn't given away all of his property. Ubay Kinyan. And therefore, again, the the recipient of the gift should really require a kinyan to acquire it. Tachi kaimalamba basra pak mishames dechevan shishir legarne midi eno kimitzuve machmas misa hoil vachas al parnosas atzmo farihi kimaknas bari. Rabbi say, isn't this fascinating? The concept of a matna shchirin, Rabbi say, is dafka in a case where a person knows he's going to die, right? So we'll say, and how does this manifest itself that he knows he's going to die? What is he doing? He's giving away all of his property. Now, both say, now, by the way, it doesn't have to be that he's giving away all of his property to one person, right? But Lamaisa, he's cleaning out the estate. Cleaning out the estate because he knows that he's going to die. The moment he's not cleaning out the estate, essentially, he's giving some away, but retaining some for himself. There's only one reason you're retaining something for yourself, right? Which is, you think that you may recover, which is beautiful. Person should always have hope. Person should always be optimistic. But lamaisa, then it's not a matna shchimira. If it's not a matna shchimira, then it requires a kinyan. So what Rabbi Abba was intrigued by was, it's not like Geneva is giving everything to Rabbi Avina. He's giving him a defined amount of 400 zuz worth of wine from Nar Panya. Well, that seems to be a matana b'miktsas, a partial gift. And if it's a partial gift, it's not really a matna shchimira. And if it's not a matna shchimira, then the only way for Rabbi Avina to actually acquire that is how? Through a kinyan. Michlad Rav Huna Savar lo by a kinyan. So maybe Rav Huna holds that even a partial gift of a shchimira doesn't require a kinyan, but that's not true. Va'kaimalan de by a kinyan. Even Rav Huna is on the same page that a partial gift of a shchimira is no longer really a matna shchimira and therefore requires a kinyan. If that's the case, Rabbi Avina, again, I'm saying, to be clear, no one's suggesting Rabbi Avina is not entitled to the wine. He should get the wine. But just to understand, in order to acquire the wine, what does he have to do? What does he have to do? He's got to go to Nar Panya and do a physical kinyan on the wine. Shavuot says, listen to this. Shaini hacha de mitzvah machmas misuhu. So Rabbi say, this is very interesting. Maybe this case is really different. I will say that maybe really what the Gemara is highlighting over here is in this case, Gneva is about to be executed. So we'll say, and remember again, as we said before, when you're being executed by the government, there's no reversal, there's no stay, you are about to die. So we'll say, so maybe in this kind of case, the fact that Geneva only transferred some of the property, okay, but ein matna shchimira gidola mizo. This is a matna shchimira. This man, unfortunately, is about to die. So maybe even though normally, in a case of a guy who's deathly ill, he's on his deathbed, a shchimira, if it's a partial gift, he requires a kinyan, right? Maybe. But this case is different because he is certainly going to die. And therefore, again, we treat this like a true matna shchimira. Very interesting. Mechlal, to Rabbi Abba Savar, mitzvah machmas misa, by a kinyan. So I will say, I can infer from this that in a case of mitzvah machmas misa, ultimately, we require a kinyan. V'ha kaimalan d'lo by kinyan. But we learned that lemaisa again, that lemaisa doesn't require a kinyan. El Rabbi Abba hachi kashle. So we'll say, here was really Rabbi Abba's kasha. Listen to this. So we'll say, Rabbi Abba's kasha was not in the mechanism of the gift. Rabbi Abba's kasha was in the nature of the gift itself. What was his problem? So we'll say, listen to this. If you look, by the way, you don't have to go back, but I'll read it to you. If you notice the wording of the gift itself, how did Geneva convey ownership? He said, "Havu arba mea zuze l'Rabbi Avina, mechamra dinar panya." So he says, "Give 400 zuz to Rabbi Avina from the wine of Nar Panya." So we'll say, so Rabbi Abba says, "What is he saying exactly?" Listen to this. He doesn't say chamra lo kamar. So you both say the easiest thing would have been to say give Rabbi Avina what arba mea zuze chamra, right? Give him 400 zuz of wine, but he doesn't say that. He doesn't say chamra, right? He also doesn't say right. So chamra lo kamar deme chamra lo kamar. He also doesn't say the value of wine. Look at Rashi. Mecham, right? I'm sorry. Demechamra lo kamar. Havu le arba meazuzi mi demechamra. In other words, he also doesn't say, give him 400 zuz from the wine. In other words, which would have meant, sell the wine and give him 400 zuz worth of the proceeds. Rather, what does he say? Mechamra kamar. Rather, Rabbi Yosef uses this lashon of from wine. Give him 400 zuz from wine of Nar Panya. Now, both say, now what does that mean? What exactly does that? Mechamra kamar. Rashi says mechamra kamar. Zuzi mechamra kamar. Dinesigu levechi osim masmi yayin. I will say, now, as talented as you are, the one thing you can't do is transform wine into money, right? So what Rabbi Abba was bothered by was the actual wording of the bequest. Why don't you just say, give him 400 zuz chamra, wine, or 400 zuz mechamra of wine, which means you're selling off wine. What does it mean, 400 zuz of the wine of Nara? This is what Rabbi Abba was bothered by. He just didn't understand exactly what Gneva was conveying. The other opinion says, which was really the opinion reflected by Rabbi Zeira and Rav Huna, Mechamra Kedeliapo says Kocho. So this is fascinating. Ultimately, again, the reason why Gneva used this a little bit of convoluted lashon of give 400 zuz to Rabbi Avina from the wine of Narpanya was ultimately, again, to bolster the gift. Now we'll say, how does it bolster the gift? Take a look at Rashi. Liafo says Koho. Lekach lo piresh lo zu velo zu. Kedi liafo says Koho. Shehe lo kol yayin shelo achrayis. See, Rabbi Osai, the goal over here that Kaniva had was for Rabbi Avino to go ahead and get 400 zuz. He wanted the 400 zuz to be secured by the wine of Narpanya. But like this, I will say, what he was ensuring was, one way or another, Rabbi Avina is getting 400 zuz. You see, had he said mechamra, right, from wine, if some of the wine spoiled, right, the inheritors of Geneva would have said, oh, we're so sorry, Rabbi Avina, it was your wine that spoiled. And had they sold off wine and some of the wine depreciated, all the depreciation was yours. Like this, by phrasing it this way, what Gneva made absolutely clear was, Rabbi Avina is to walk away with 400 zuz of value. And that value is to be secured by the entire stock of the wine of Narpanya. So what Rabbi Abba saw as like ambiguous lashon was in fact not ambiguous lashon at all. It was bolstering lashon. It was the lashon, because any other lashon would have opened up Rabbi Avina to some type of loss, either through spoilage or through depreciation. Shalchu mitam, indeed they sent from there, mechamra kediliapo says kocho. Incredible, incredible. So I will say, what we walk away with from this sugya is this fascinating idea of really of an extension or an expansion of the concept of shechiv meira. That just like by shechiv meira, we allow or we dispense with the need for certain kinyanim, right? We also dispense for the need of certain proper verbiage. But as long as there is a clear expression of intent, we take it and we go with it. So now we've extended that to any situation where a person is in mortal danger as well. Person is in mortal danger, and he uses, again, a shortened or abbreviated form. For example, he should have said kisvu utinu, but he just says kisvu, we take it and we go with it. Incredible. Mishnah. So I'll say, we continue on this theme a little bit. Mishaya mushlach labar. Interesting case. Someone was in a pit, right? Reuven was thrown into a pit. Va'amar, and he calls out and he says, Kala shomea es kolo, yichtov get li'ishto. And he calls out, whoever hears my voice. Now, we'll say, now here, like Menachem said before, Rashi says over here, Piresh shmo v'shem iro. So he calls out, it's Reuven from Pikesville, right? It's Reuven from Pikesville, I'm in a pit. Whoever hears me should go ahead and yichtov get li, right? Kala shomea es kolo, yichtov get li'ishto. Whoever hears my voice, write a get for my wife. They have the ability to go ahead and write it and give it. Now, I will say, this is similar to the previous case. Mushlach Labar is also a case of mortal danger. Once again, he's only saying Yichtov. He's not saying Kisvu Utnu, but we understand again, this is a case of mortal danger, and therefore we go ahead and we write and we deliver the get. So Gemara says, Ivalechosh Shema Sheithu. How do you know it's Reuven? And Rabbi said, again, Sunday we're going to see some serious Shadim Gemaras. Actually, already at Shabbos, we're going to see some incredible Shadim Sugyas. So I think the Gemara says, maybe it's a Shade. Maybe it's not Reuven from Pikesville. Amar Huna, Kisharolo Dmus Adam. No, we see, and Rabbi said, you talk about a case over here where if you can imagine, like it's a deep pit, like a deep well. So you can't, it's dark, so you can't see exactly who it is. But Lamaisi, you see a human form there. Dmus Adam. En hu nami edmu ye idmu. So I say, okay, Shadim could also take on human form. So I know it's not a shade. Dechazle bavua. You see a shadow. So I say, so apparently again, shadows are uniquely human. Tushim Rav says, no. In hu nami isla bavua, shadim could also have a shadow. To which the Gemara says, "Dechazulei bavua de bavua." So I will say. So interestingly enough, when the sun is at a certain point in the horizon, sometimes people actually cast a double shadow. Right? There's a closer, fainter shadow, and a further, more significant shadow. So apparently, shadim, as much as they could assume human form, and as much as they could even cast a shadow, they never cast that secondary shadow. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Chanina limdani Yonasan bini." Right, my son Yonasan taught me, "Bevua isluhu, shaden have a shadow. Bevua de bevua leslu, but shaden do not have the shadow of a shadow." I v'dilmat sarahi. So I say, "Now this is fine." See, now we're confident it's not a shade. Maybe it's a co-wife. Okay, so I say, right? So in other words, what is that? In other words, so I say, maybe this is a setup. Maybe it's a setup. Right, so remember again, Reuven's married to two women, Rachel and Leah. Rachel really doesn't like Leah, so what happens? Rachel stages her own, right? So Rachel climbs into the pit, right? Puts on a deep voice, as Reuven from Pikesville, right? Write a get for Leah. What's her whole point, right? What's right? You're like, Rachel, what's the plan? Like, what's the play over here, right? So what's her plan? Her plan is that Leah's gonna get Rachel, right? So Rachel doesn't like Leah. Rachel, right, stages her own, right? Pretend she's moving in the pit. This way they're going to write a get for Leah. Leah is going to get remarried based on the get. And what's going to happen is going to turn out that the whole thing is a falsehood. But now, unfortunately, she committed adultery. Unknowingly, but adultery. Now she's asura, ultimately, to her husband. This is Rachel's grand plan to get Leah out of the picture. To which the Gemara says, Tana de Be'er Shmuel, this is an incredible Gemara. Tana de Be'er Shmuel, b'shas ha-sakana, Kosvin v'nosin afa pishein makirin. So I'll say, essentially what the Gemara says is, you're right. The truth is it possible that it's Rachel the co-wife? It's possible. It's also possible that it's not Reuven down there. Because remember again, we can't see who's down there. All we know is that someone is down there. The guy down there is saying, it's me, it's Reuven. I'm going to die down here. Write a get for my wife. To which the Gemara says, "Bishasa sakana, in a time of danger, we write and we give, even though we don't recognize who's there." So we'll say, this is an incredible, incredible Gemara. Essentially, we'll say, what we are concerned about over here is, when faced with the prospect that this woman can end up an aguna, right? Because that's what could happen over here. In other words, if it is Reuven down there, and Reuven dies, and no one knows what happened to Reuven, his wife is an aguna, his wife is stuck. So if we have a choice between, on one hand, the guy in there is saying he's Reuven. He's saying, write a get for my wife. It's a time of sakon. He's facing potential imminent death. And but yet, we can't actively corroborate the identity of who it is. Maybe it is Reuven, maybe it's not Reuven. So the choice between, the knowledge that we can corroborate the identity, but also the possibility of leaving her in aguna, b'shasa sakona, we take decisive action. I will say, incredible Moshe Haskalah, sometimes in life, you just have to act. You know, we'll say, all of us in life, when we take action, we always want to know that we're taking the right action, right? I want to be armed with all of the facts. I want to have all of the knowledge, and I want to be 1,000% sure that this is the right course of action. I will say, there are so many times in life where you don't have all of the information, and you're not armed with all of the facts. So sometimes people say, well, if I'm not armed with all the facts, then I'm not going to act. But life doesn't work that way. Sometimes in life, you have to take the leap. Sometimes in life, you have to act. You have to engage in decisive, dynamic activity because something has to get done, even though you're not 100% sure that it's the right course of action. Because often, if the other option is inaction, sometimes inaction itself has the most catastrophic circumstances. There are times in life where you just have to do, even though you're not 100% sure that it's the right course to take. Incredible yisod. Says the Mishnah, Habari sha'amru, kisvu get li'ishti. So we'll say, good, that's the end of that. Next, Habari sha'amru, kisvu get li'ishti. So we'll say, now listen to this. Now, up until now, we've been dealing with a shchiv mira, guy in a pit, guy being allowed to be executed. Let's say Reuven is a totally healthy guy, right? Everything is fine. And he says to witnesses, write a get for my wife. Now we'll say, so remember, it's an incomplete lashon, right? He should have said kisvu utnu, but he just says kisu. Ratzel asachek ba. He's playing with her. Now, what does that mean? He's not. In other words, he's taunting her. He's taunting her. This is not a proper expression of get giving. So there was a story of a guy, right, who said, write a get for my wife. So again, totally regular guy. Then he went up to the roof. And he fell off the roof and he died. So Amar Shimon Leo, in me'atzmo nafal, if Rachman al-Islam, he took his own life, then hari's a get. So Rabbi say, if he took his own life, then what?
Amen.
It showed that he wasn't bari. He wasn't bari, right? So lemais again, then his statement of kisvu is a valid statement. If he went up to the roof, right, after taunting his wife with kisvu get, he goes up to the roof, right, and he falls, right, he got blown off by wind, then ultimately again, eno get. Then it's not a good get. So I would say, although after taunting his wife like that, the probability that he just fell off, I don't know. Okay. So again, look at the Gemara. Maisa list. So I would say, here's the problem with the way the Mishnah is structured. The story seems to contradict the principle, right? Because the principle was that if he's totally healthy, and I would say, by the way, Bari, what does Bari mean in this context? Bari means he's not a shechid meira and he's not being let out to be executed, right? That's or he's not embarking on a dangerous journey. So that's what bari means, right? It doesn't mean that he's a totally earth. He's just not in this imminent death situation. So the Mishnah says if he says kisvu, that's an irrelevant statement. Then the story comes and talks about a bari who said kisvu and lemaisa, it was a good get. So does the story come to contradict the principle? The Mishnah says no. Kisrei maksa b'achi katani. Here's how you have to read it. Im hochiach sofo atrilaso hareze get. I will say, if the end, this phrase, sofo mochiach atrilaso, if the end of the story retroactively sheds light on the beginning of the story, then even someone who looked like a bari may not be a bari. For example, my tsunami bebari, shemer kisu get lishti. There was a story of a bari, of a regular healthy, call a bari, a healthy guy, regular guy, who said kisu. That by itself is ineffective wording for the conveyance of a get. Va'al rosh hagag, he went up to the roof and nafal mason, fell off the roof and died. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, im nafal me'atzmo, no, I'm sorry, im me'atzmo nafal, harei ze get. So we'll say again, if unfortunately he took his own life, then l'maisit shows that what? Sofo mochiach al tchilaso, the end of the story sheds light on the beginning that he wasn't a bari. He wasn't a bari. He wasn't a healthy individual. That he was, we'll say, effectively a person who was in sakana. And therefore, again, the kisvu is a valid wording, ultimately, again, for the writing and delivery of the get. Harei ze get. Emaruach dachaso. But if the wind pushed him off, ultimately, again, eino get. Then Allah Lamaisa, the get will not be a valid get. Hu gavra. So we'll say, incredible. We'll say, this is also much too, let's say, also interesting, this is a fascinating Gemara in general, that, you know, there are many halachas that apply to a person who takes their own life. Halachas apply to a person who takes their own life. Right? To make it about where they're buried, could they be buried in a Jewish cemetery? Not be. So we'll say, what's very important, and conventional halacha understands this, that when a person takes their own life, it often represents the fact that they're not a bari. Right? A person goes ahead and takes that, is in so much pain that they feel that the only way to alleviate their pain is to end their own life. So I'll say, so ein choli gedola mizo, right? Ein shchiv mira gedola mizo. And you see, it's interesting, the halacha understands this as well. You thought the guy was a bari, but he goes off the roof and takes his own life. He's clearly not a bari. He's clearly not a bari. Very, very important way, in the way that, unfortunately, Rahman al-Islam, lo an elenu, when these things happen within our community, so important to understand the sensitivities that one is supposed to approach these horrific situations with. Zumar goes weiter. Hu gavra da'albi k'nishta. Mosei, a person went into the shul. It was a guy who went into the shul. Ashkech mikre yinuka, ubrei, diyasiv, diyasi. So we'll say, so what happened? Reuven walks into the Beis Medrash, and he sees a Rebbe. Mikre yinuka means a Rebbe who teaches young children. Ubrei. So the Rebbe was sitting with his son, right? V'yosef in the shachrin ha-kabayin, and another guy. So three people sitting in the Beis Medrash. The Rebbe's son, and a guy. They're all sitting in the Beis Medrash. Amar lehu, lebeit treminaychu, nichtavu gita ledvisu. So Reuven says, listen, can two of you guys mind writing a get for my wife? Walks in the Beis Medrash, can two of you guys write a get for my wife? Okay. So the sof shachiv mikre yinuka. So what's at the end of the day? So what happened? So the Rebbe passed away. The Rebbe passed away. So Rabbi said, there are two people left, the son of the Rebbe and the other guy. Mi mashvi inish bra shlicha b'makom abba. Olo. We'll say, it's very interesting. Now, here's the shaila. Does a person appoint a son, a shaliach, in the presence of his father? In other words, will the person ever appoint a father and son together as shlukim? Essentially, we'll say what the shaila is like this. Is it considered to be a slight to the honor of the father for the son to be appointed a shaliach together with the father? So that's the shaila in this particular situation, right? Reuven walks into the Beis Medrash. He sees the Rebbe's son, and another guy. He says, could two of you go ahead and make and write a get, right? And give a get to my wife. So now, we'll say, so now the shaila is, when he said that, did he have in mind for all three and two out of the three? Or in his mind, is he just thinking, no, it's just the Rebbe and other guy, but I would never appoint the son together with the father's share. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is now the father dies. I'm sorry, the Rebbe dies. The Rebbe dies. So now the shaila is, could the son act as a shaliach together with the other guy? Or do we say, no, Reuven never appointed the son to be one of the shluchim because that would have been a slight to the father. Says the shaila of Nachman, Amar, Nachman says, no, people do not appoint the son to be the shaliach in the presence of a father or together with the father. Rapapi Amar, Mashu Inish Brash Licha Makum Abba. Rapapi says, no, people do appoint the son to be a shaliach together with the father. Amar Rabba Hilchasa Mashu Inish Brash Licha Makum Abba. So we'll say the halachim said the Rambam Paskins, the halachim I said, people do appoint the son to become a shaliach together with the father, and therefore in this case, when the Rebbe dies, the son and the other guy are empowered to finish the job of writing and delivering the get. Incredible. Amar l'shnayim. Well, it's another interesting case. Tnu get l'ishti. The person says to two people, right? Reuven says to two people, give a get to my wife. Tnu get l'ishti. O, amad beis, o l'shlosha, kisvu utnu get l'ishti. Or he says to three people, Go ahead and literally write and give a get to my wife. Rabbi say, go back to Amud Aleph just for a moment, just to read the last Rashi there. Amud l'shtayim tnu get l'ishti. Afagav lo amar kisvu. Rabbi say, this is the reverse case, right? Up until now, we're talking about cases where Reuven, the husband, said, right, kisvu, but didn't say tnu. In this case, he's saying tnu, but he didn't say kisvu. Give a get to my wife, but he didn't say right. So look at Rashi. Avagav lo amr kisvu utinu hare eli yichasmu ba'atzman v'lo yomer le'edim achirim lachtom v'lav beisim ino l'tzavos al achirim ele edim shavinu b'gemar mefarish shabbos say, now listen to this. Zalok l'maisa, when he says tinu get lishti tishnayim, what he's essentially telling them is, I want you guys to sign on the get, right? It's understood kisvu tinu. Now, we'll have to see, does it mean that they have to write it themselves? Or could they outsource that? We'll see that. But point is, if he says tnu get l'ishti to two people, or amad beis, now I'm sorry, o l'shlosha kisvu get utnu l'ishti. Or I will say, he says ultimately again to three people, write and give a get to my wife. So I will say, so now listen to this. What's the halacha? So hare elu yichtivu v'yitnu. These two groups have to write the get and have to deliver the get. I have to write the get and I have to deliver the get. Okay. Amr l'shlosha, and so remember again, the cases are very specific. He's saying to two, tnu, or to three, kisvu utnu. In both of those cases, the group of two, the group of three, they are responsible for writing and signing the get. Next case, Bosei Samach Babam, base 66 of the second line down. Amr l'shlosha, tnu get lishti. What happens if he says to three people, give a get to my wife? Give a get. Hari elu yomer liachirim v'yichtivu mipnei sha'asan beis nedarim meir. So we'll say this is very interesting. So essentially we'll say, if he says to a group of three, give a get to my wife, what he's effectively empowered them to do is to become a beis din. They're a beis din. Now as a beis din, they have the right to what? Outsource this process. Yomer liachirim v'yichtivu, he can say to someone else that they could go ahead and write it, mipnei sha'asan beis nedarim meir. V'zu halacha, but say, listen to this. And this is a halacha that Rabbi Chanina from Ono brought back from jail. Now, I will say, what does it mean he brought it back from jail? Look at Rashi. Beis HaSurin. Mishmosha Rabbi Akiva Shenichvash Bebeis HaAsulim. I will say, this is absolutely amazing. So Rabbi Hanina was the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, remember again, was incarcerated by the Romans. Rabbi Akiva was one of the Asar Rugi Malchus. He was incarcerated by the Romans. So when Rabbi Akiva was incarcerated, so Rabbi Hanina used to come and visit him in jail in order to be able to learn some Torah from him. So Rabbi Hanina brought back this ruling from Rabbi Akiva when Rabbi Akiva was incarcerated. Again, I will say this, the ruling was that if you say to a group of three, Tnu get le'ishti, not kisvu tnu, but Tnu get le'ishti, then effectively what you are doing is you are making them into a Beis Din. You're making them into a Beis Din. And as a Beis Din, ultimately, again, they have the ability to outsource the process to others. So what happened, I will say? So the Gemara says, We told Rabbi Hanina, af anu mikubalan. We also have a Kabbalah. Shafilu amr lebezin agadol shibirushalayim tenu get leishti. That even if you said, I will say to the high court, right? Even if you said to the Sanhedrin Yushalayim, give a get to my wife, that I will say that they can't outsource it. Sheilamdu v'yichtavu v'yitnu. They have to learn how to write it. They have to write it. They have to sign it. They have to deliver it to us. So what you begin to see is a machlokes over here about what happens if you say, so in other words, everyone agrees that if you say to a group of three, kisvu utinu, that group of three is responsible for the writing, signing, and delivery of the get. If you just say to a group of three, tenu get lishti, so what happens? Apparently Rabbi Akiva says, you've empowered them as a Beis Din, they could outsource it. Rabbi Yossi said, no, even if you say to a group of three, so tenu, ultimately, again, they are responsible, ultimately, again, to write it. They are responsible, ultimately, again, to write it, to sign it, and to deliver it. Okay, so my focus. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, good. Amr la asara, kisvu tenu get lishti. If you say to a group of 10 people, write and give a get to my wife. So what's the halacha? And there's a group of 10. Echad kosev, so one writes it. Ushnayim chosmin. And ultimately, again, two sign it. You don't need all 10 to sign it, two sign it. However, if you say kulchem kisovu, oh, what happens if you say all of you have to write the get, then echad kosev, one still writes it. V'kulam chosmin, but all of them sign it. L'fichach, emes echa me'em harei zebatol. Therefore, it's very interesting. Therefore, in a case of where you say to 10 people, Kulchem kisu get leishti, then obviously only one of them is going to write it, but all 10 have to sign it, and if one of them dies, the get is invalid. Or else, when we say the get is invalid, it means that you can't finish the get. Because again, you're in non-compliance with the tenai of the husband. Incredible. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Shalchu le mi bei Rav l'Shmuel. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba said, they sent from the house of Rav to Shmuel, Yilamdina Rabbeinu, Rabbi teach us. Amr l'shnayim kisvu utinu get lishti. To this. Reuven says to two people, write and give a get to my wife. Right? So two people, kisvu utinu. Write and give a get to my wife. V'amru l'sofer, v'amru l'sofer, v'kasa, v'kasma in my house. Let's listen to this. So now, watch what's happening over here. So Reuven said to two people, kisvu utinu get lishti. Write and literally deliver the get. So now what happens? The two people say to they commission a sofer. They commission a sofer. And they say to the sofer, you write the get. And then what happens? Sofer writes the get and they sign it. So Rabbi says, What's the halacha? Does this work? What's the shiloh over here? When Reuven says to the group of two, kisvu utinu, what does kisvu mean? Now, obviously, what everyone will agree with is that ultimately, again, the two people have to sign. They're the edim on the get. The shayla is the husband being makbid that they write the get themselves or not? So the Gemara says, shalcholuhu. So ultimately, again, Shmuel said, teitze, if she got remarried with this get, she has to leave her second husband. Ba'adavar tzarach tamud. But you know what? We're going to have to look into this a little bit more. So Maya Davar Tzarchan, what does that mean? What does that mean that we have to look into this a little bit more? Ilema mishum dahabi luhum mili, umesapka luhum mili imimson l'shliach yidol mimson shem. So we'll say, this is fascinating. In general, we'll say, what's happened over here? You have two people who were commissioned verbally by Reuven to do something. Now we'll say, what are those same two people doing? What are they doing? They're commissioning someone else. So we'll say, so essentially what they're doing is, they're taking words which were given to them, a verbal command from Reuven, and they're conveying that to someone else. So we'll say, that's called mili mimsaran. Could words be conveyed? In other words, if you're asked by someone to do something, you're tasked by someone to do something, can you convey that verbal obligation to someone else? Could one shaliach transfer his agency, his words, to another shaliach? So we'll say, so we paskin, no. One shaliach can't transfer his agency to another shaliach. In other words, words are not transferable. Words are not transferable. So therefore, again, I will say, based on that, when Reuven says to two people, guys, write and give a get to my wife, if this is about, can they convey agency to someone else? The answer to that is no. So what's the shayla? So I will say, El Shmuel ha kami boyle. So I will say, this was Shmuel's kasha. Ha ksovu iksav yodon iksav haget. We'll say, this is it. Here's the shayla. When Reuven comes over to two people and he says, kisvu utinu, I will say, what's the shayla? What does kisvu mean? What does kisvu mean? Does kisvu mean that he dafka wants them to write the get? Or no, what does kisvu mean? What does kisvu mean? Sign the get. Sign. I want you to be the witnesses. I don't need you to write the get. I'll say, I have to remember again, writing the get is also a specialized expertise. So no. You can hire someone else to write the get. What I'm makbid on is that I want you to sign the get. So that's what Shmuel was mesupak about. What does kisvu mean? Doesn't mean ksav yadon. What's ksav yadon means their signatures? Or ksav haget. He actually wants them to write the document. But Tisha thing must be sin. We can answer this from the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Amr the Shnaim to Nuget Leishti. The Berzah said to two people, give a get to my wife. O l'shlosha kisu to Nuget Leishti. Or to three people, write and give a get to my wife. Hara elu yichtavu v'yitnu. Ultimately, they have to write it and give it. So we'll say, what does that sound like from the Mishnah? It sounds like from the Mishnah that when you tell two people, kisvu tenu, or even just tenu, you dafka want them to write the get. Tushimura says, no. He gufa kami bayi. They both say, this is Shmuel's kasha, ksovu. When a husband says to two people, write the get, what is he saying? Ksav yodan hu, o ksav hagetu. They both say, so Shmuel's kasha is in the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah itself. When Reuven, the husband, comes over to two people and he says, kisvu tenu. What does kisvu mean? Does kisvu mean ksav haget? I want you to actually write the document. Or no, I don't want you to write the document. I want you to sign on the get. To which the Gemara says, pshita, the ksav hagetu. It seems to be pashat that it's referring ultimately again to signatures and not to actually writing on the get. How so? Diktani seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, nominu, l'shliach. So Rabbi Yossi said, we said back to Rabbi Hanina, who brought back the ruling of Rabbi Akiva? Af anu mikubalan shafilu amar lebeisin agilish yushalayim tenu get lishdi. That even if a person said to the Sanhedrin, give a get to my wife, sheilamdu viyichtavu viyitnula. Rabbi will say, what does it say? We teach them to write and to give to her the get. I armit bishlam ksav hagetu shapir. So we'll say, if you say that when you say kisvu, ultimately again it means they have to write the get, then it makes sense that the Mishnah says we teach them to write the get. Because I will say, remember again, a get, we saw first Tosfos in the Masechta, it's got to be 12 lines, right? There's a way that you write it. So that makes sense, you use Lashon of teaching them. But if Lamai says, just refers to their signatures, is there a Beidin that doesn't know how to sign their signatures? To which the Gemara says, in Ika Beidin Charta. Yeah, there is something called the new Beidin. But say sometimes when you have new batei din. So remember again, you could have dayanim who are big talmidei chacham but never had to sign on documents before. So maybe they don't have established signatures. So we teach them how to create established signatures. So we'll say we're going to stop over here for today. We're leaving off in the middle of the question. So we'll say here's what we have. Here's what we have. Bottom line, it turns out that the real kasha Shlomo say is a more global kasha. That when a husband goes over to two people or to three people for that matter, and he says kisvu or tenu, or just kisvu, let's say in the case of a shechid meira, so we'll say, what does kisvu mean? Does kisvu mean, or we'll say, it's what we call ksav haget, right? Ksav haget or ksav yadon. Does he, is he makbid that they write the document, or is he makbid that they just sign, but they can outsource the writing of the document? We'll say, again, we're leaving off with that kasha, and Emirat Hashem resolution tomorrow. Shkoyach.